name is Jesus.
Our God reigns.
Our Lord Jesus.
Our God reigns.
He reigns.
Our God reigns.
Yes, He reigns. Our God reigns.
Our God reigns.
His name is Jesus.
Our God reigns.
Oh, our Lord Jesus.
Aren't you glad about that this morning? Somebody say praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be in camp meeting this morning, isn't it? How many of you enjoyed service here last night? You appreciate the word of the Lord? Don't it get better all the time? Amen. Praise the Lord. We've got a lot to try to get done this morning, so we're going to do the best we can in the time that we have, and we're going to get plenty of time to the preaching of the word of the Lord, have a baby dedication today, so we're going to go right on into the service. So glad all of you are here. Before we do another thing, why don't you turn around? You don't have to reach far. Shake somebody's hand. Tell them you're glad to see them in church this morning. What a privilege it is to be in the house of God. Play that one more time. Let's sing that one more time. This morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. I usually let you sit down, but I'm going to ask you to just go ahead and stand just for a minute while we look at our prayer request this morning. You'll get to sit here just in a little while. So let's just stand for just a little while. I have a prayer request this morning for Dennis Fleener. That's my sister's son-in-law. Was working yesterday, come down off the roof, and got some kind of a real bad infection. The rescue squad had to take him to the hospital. He's in intensive care right now, so if you would remember him in prayer. Sister Linda Jablonski wants us to remember a friend of hers. Her name is Rachel Freeman. She's in the Johnson City Medical Center. She was at work last night, had a seizure, so they're asking that we would pray for that. Also, remember her soul as you pray. And she has an unspoken prayer request. We commit that unto the Lord. Sister Sharon Gisendanner says to please pray for Linda Fitzgerald from Georgia. Has trouble breathing from complications of pneumonia, so we want to remember that this morning. Sister Brenda Harmon says, I want to thank you all for your love and support During these recent weeks, on Thursday, I was granted full custody of the girl. She wants to thank the Lord for that. So praise God. Sister Sherry Wiggins having complications from allergies. So let's remember that this morning as we pray that the Lord would be mindful of her. Brother John Roberts, testimony this morning. And that's a guy that don't ever say nothing. He don't ever, you just, Brother John, raise your hand so somebody will know who you are. He don't ever say nothing, but he's got a wonderful testimony this morning. Since I was a teenager, my knuckles and my joints have popped, especially my right knee. Last week at the end of service, when Brother Timothy Pruitt prayed, he had everyone stand up. I felt something fall off of me. There was nothing there, and I didn't think about it until I sat down and have not had to pop my knuckles since then and have not had any pain in my joints, and he wants to praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Those chains fell off, didn't they? Praise the Lord. Brother Terry Horn wants us to remember Sister Alice in prayer this morning. Had a rough night last night, not feeling well today, so we certainly want to pray for our sister. The Lord would be mindful of her. Brother Gene Littleton says to please remember Sister Vella Baines in prayer. She fell and injured her hip and is facing eye surgery this week. Also remember my family in prayer. They need the Lord in their lives. So we certainly want to pray for those needs this morning. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need today, something you'd like for this group to pray about, Brother Rob, come this morning. Take us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these requests. We just commit these things unto the Lord. We know we're serving a risen Savior. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I love you, buddy.
Love you too.
Appreciate you.
God bless you.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, once again, we come before you in prayer with thanksgiving in our hearts, thankful for your presence among us last night, and our expectation is so strong in the building right now for what it is you have planned for us today. As we see the sheep, Lord, come to the shepherd in that small video, Lord, it just reminds us how we run to you, Lord, when you make yourself known. I thank you for your grace to us. Saturate this building with grace, I pray. Lord God, we love you and we thank you. We pray for these prayer requests, Lord God. I pray that you move and these opportunities, Lord, to manifest yourself in the healing power that we know that you have. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Lord, we ask also for spiritual blessings. If natural blessings are so important to our daily lives, how much more is the spiritual things from God, Lord, to saturate our souls with the goodness and the things of heaven that we long for. I pray, Lord God, I thank you for testimonies. I thank you for the testimonies that will come from these prayer requests, and we look forward to the service by your grace, Lord. It is sufficient for us. We love you and we thank you, Lord. And we pray, Lord God, teach us, Lord, as it was coming out in the Word, teach us to handle, Lord, people that are bride, the whosoever will group and all the other groups, Lord God, just to build up your kingdom, Lord. For in your name we pray, in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Rob. God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor, and we have many of you here this morning, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you in our gates. Pray this service would be a blessing to you. And all those that are streaming the service today, we pray the service would be a blessing to those folks as well. A couple of announcements we want to make to you this morning. As you know, our parking lot is really congested. You probably had to park. I'm telling you where you had to park this morning. But please, please be careful as you leave today in the parking lot. Watch for children. And as you leave, please be careful. Dangerous highway right there. So please be careful as you leave. And we want to recognize all the folks that participated in the Fall Festival. Whether you worked or whether you just came to fellowship, to all of you, thank you so much. And to especially Brother Michael Bailey and the workers, thank you guys so much for all that you did. Give them a nice hand this morning. So thank all of you for all the hard work that you did. We're going to have church here this morning. As we dismiss the service, it gets really congested out in the lobby during these crowds and things. If you want to use these doors here to exit this morning as the service is dismissed, feel free to do that. And we'll get them out of the lobby as good as we can. And catch somebody talking, tell them to move. Tell them to go outside. air is free. Go outside and do your talking. Praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more hand clap of praise this morning. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day.
Just to know that the Lord has saved your soul. Have you forgotten what you need to do? You gotta do. Sometimes the road gets long, and I know sometimes you feel like you can't go on, but you can make it. You just take up your cross and follow Jesus. made a way when there was no way that I could see. When I drifted far, Jesus was near to rescue my soul and calm all my fear.
Now I'm safe from all harm
since I met the one who came looking for me.
One more time.
Oh, he came looking for me. He came looking for me.
He came looking for me.
He made a way when there was no way that I could see. When I drifted so far, Jesus was near to rescue my soul and calm all my fear.
Now I'm safe from all harm
since I met the one who came looking for me.
Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated this morning. We have some songs today, and as you can imagine, we got more songs than we could ever get done today, probably. But we're going to do the best we can. We're going to have two songs this morning, and if I don't get you today, you come back, and we will work you in, I promise you. Let us know when you're coming. Let us know when you get here, and we'll get you up here to let you sing. But we'll do the best we can. Brother Caleb Atkins. Where's he? They come on the platform real quickly. I also want Charity Laster, Jordan Swanson, and others. Never heard a name like that of you others. It's a pretty name, though. I like it. Ever who you are, you all come onto the platform, too, and get ready to sing for us this morning. Give our singers a nice hand, if you would, if they get ready to sing. Praise the Lord.
As I look back on this road I've traveled, I've seen so many times how he's carried me through. And if there's one thing I've learned in my life, it's my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said he will do. Every morning his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. My heart rejoices when I read his promise. There is a place that I've prepared just for you. And I know I'll see my Lord face to face. 'Cause my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said he will do. And every morning his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. And in every situation, Lord, you prove your love for me. When I lack the understanding, you give more grace to me. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said, he will do. Every morning mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true.
To you, I surrender. give it all to you.
Certainly appreciate both of our songs this morning. Really pretty, weren't they? Amen. They wanted us to make this announcement just before we going into the service. If you're traveling back to North Carolina today, there's a fuel shortage because of the ruptured gas line, and you might want to fill your tanks up here before you head back into North Carolina. So I wanted you to know about that, okay? Are you ready for the preaching of the Word of the Lord? I'm going to let you just remain seated this morning. We have a baby dedication. But Brother Harry, lead us in a little chorus as Brother Donnie gets ready to come out this morning.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Oh, here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
The Lord I greet you today in the name of the Lord. I hope if our church ever gets this big, y'all are looking for a new pastor, because I'm leaving. I'm not joking, I'm serious. I like a little church myself. You think God don't have a sense of humor? I hated homework. When I went to school, I never liked studying. I'd always do my schoolwork at school. Now I do homework for you all the time. I hate a suit. No joke. I hate wearing a suit. I'm comfortable in the blue jeans, but you wouldn't think that'd be very nice, would you? No doubt some of you, he's called you the same way. Made you so different to be what he wanted you to be, to serve his purpose. Aren't you glad he can have that kind of control over us, though, where we're willing to submit to him? Amen. Brother Keith and Sister Charity will bring their baby today. We'll dedicate him to the Lord.
Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin, bring them in, bring them in, bring the little ones to Jesus.
Together. Heavenly Father, as my brother and sister stand before you in this congregation today, to be able to bring your little son, which you've given to their union, back into your presence. Lord, we think when you were here, the little children that the parents brought to you for you to lay your hands on them and bless them. We think of you yourself when you were dedicated, Samuel, different ones that were brought to the service of God. We realize, Lord Jesus, in this dark, corrupt age we're living, to be able to bring them up in the avenue of light is such a great blessing and responsibility for us as parents. I pray that you'd help my brother and sister. May the Spirit of God be with them, and may they be able to direct their little son. May he be able to be what you would want him to be. We know, according to what your prophet has taught us, for a child to be brought up in the right way, they have so much more of an advantage of someone who's been able to pull from the world. Many of us sitting here today know what that was like, not being raised in church. So I pray, Lord, that you would help them. May he grow up hearing mama pray, daddy pray, hearing them sing, hearing them discuss the truths of this hour. May you watch over him, Lord. Keep him from the evils, the darkness of this day. We commit his little life to you today, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand together. Certainly welcome you all today, all the home folks and all the visitors as well. Certainly appreciate the blessing of the Lord in each of our lives. Certainly enjoyed the presence of the Lord last night.
Amen.
Amen. God is so good to us. St. John chapter 5, verse 24. Let's look again today by the help of the Lord at the will, God's will of the New Testament. In the will, of course, is different parties, different verses that are said for different people, different things that are left to them by the sovereignty of God. St. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. This is a very common scripture that is used for basically an easy believism, to where that all you have to do is so-called believe. But let's look at this verse and see what it actually says. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth, look at the word heareth, what it means, to be endowed with the faculty of hearing, to understand. So it's not just hearing, but it's being endowed with the spiritual faculty to be able to understand what's being said. Perceive the sense of what is said. So it's not just even in hearing it and perceiving an element of it, but it's perceiving the sense. So if it's spoken in parabolic form, you're given the ability to understand the sense. That's why Jesus told his disciples, to you it is given to know the mysteries of God, to others in parables. Now listen what he says. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. Again, the word believeth, it's the same Greek root word that we use for believe, believeth. But instead of being pistis, it is pisteo, which is believe, commit unto. So it's not just a step of intellectual faith. Oh, I believe God so loved the world, he gave his own son. I believe. It's more than that. Look at the word Jesus chose to use on this. Believe, commit unto. Commit to one's trust. To entrust a thing to one. His fidelity to be entrusted with a thing. So it's more than an intellectual conception. But if you really believe, you commit your life, your soul, everything that you have to this one that you say that you have believed. Believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And of course, the word condemnation is judgment. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Paul here now speaking, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now Satan is very cunning, and if he can take this will and try to subdivide the will and take certain clauses of the will that go to the elect and be able to move upon the hearts of those that are not elect and be able to convince them that's their inheritance, he'll deceive them by it. And what he would also do is turn around and try to take the promises that belong to the elect and say they're not yours. He knows the power of misapplying the word. Now listen to what Paul says in verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Amen. Let's bow our heads together for prayer before the Lord. How many would like to be remembered today? Something in your heart, your life. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the reading of your word. We know in your words are life. We know, Lord Jesus, that when you spoke the word, it must come to pass. We know there's two words that are used to define your word, and that is logos and rhema. We desire today, Father, we have read the logos. We desire today the Holy Ghost would be able to inspire this, that it would become more than logos to us. It would be rhema, that word which is spoken for the time and the season that we needed today. You saw the hands of your children that were uplifted. No doubt it represents many different things. Help us, Father. We bring our needs before your presence, knowing that you're mindful. Lord, I have my hands on these several prayer calls that I'm going to preach to us today. I pray, Father, that you'd be mindful of these needs as well. We know, Lord Jesus, you're concerned over the needs of your people. So we commit ourselves to you now. May you take your presence, your word. May you anoint our hearts that we can be able to receive. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. We know it's always been a difficult thing for people to see the different categories and the groups, especially after the giving of grace. In the Old Testament, it's a little bit easier to see it because the election of God was so profound, and God himself choosing who he wanted to choose. But somehow people think in the New Testament that God forfeited election and predestination and basically leaves it upon man's choice entirely. But we know the attributes of God and the makeup of God does not change. He's the same yesterday and forever. Malachi said, I'm God and I change not. So if we ever find a trait or a characteristic of God, we know that that runs through eternity. God cannot change. He's not like us to where we alter our behavior accordingly, but God cannot and will not do that. And we know that God foreshadowed that there was his choice in the Old Testament. And Abraham is actually the beginning of our salvation. I'm not sure if you're aware of that or not, but Brother Abraham said that several times over again, that Abraham was the very beginning of our salvation. Abraham was a Gentile and God called him. He was not because he was a good man, not because he was a righteous man, but because God chose him. God favored him very highly. And God, even though Abraham had not received the law yet, God had not given Abraham, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. He had never given him the Torah nor the Mishnah that the children of Israel would receive hundreds of years later. But yet God did make an introductory covenant with Abraham. And God told him of things that he would do. Abraham entered into that covenant simply because God called him to do so. And God has called you and I on the same basis by election. Is that right? Now, in that, under grace, then we know that God also has expounded his love beyond the Lamb's portion of the book of life over to the book of life. We see that reflected in the shadows and the types even of the Old Testament. Read with me, if you would, in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 4. And command thou the people, saying, ye are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau. Now, I want you to notice now, these are not Israelites. And we know that Esau, which further became the Edomites, they were a great conflict and a great thorn in the side of the children of Israel many, many times. Now, at this date, they've not yet developed into that state, but they're going to be. Now, I want you to notice in the way that God approaches the children of Israel. He's speaking to Moses, and they're fixing to go into their land. And they're going to pass by the land of Edom. Now, they ask for permission to go through the land of Edom, but the king refuses to give them permission to go through the middle of the land. It would have been a more direct route, so they would have went from point A to point B. They could have went directly through the middle of the land, but the king refused permission. But God did not take out vengeance against the people of Edom because their king would not let them go. Now notice the difference now in the types, that the elect were Israel, but here was Edom, and he calls them your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir. They shall be afraid of you, and take you good heed unto yourselves therefore. Now, once you notice how God deals with this, that he's letting them know, you all are so many. There's so many of you, and then the supernatural has been so vindicated with you that your renown goes before you. And these people will know that, they have this potential of you destroying them. I don't want you to take advantage of that fear that they have. Isn't this something to say? That you would not want people on a false pretense to usurp a fear which they should not usurp? Now, this is something that God is going to usurp over the Philistines, the Amorites, the Hittites, and the Jebusites, but it is not to be exerted over these people here. Now, why? Because they are part of their brethren. They shall be afraid of you. Take you good heed unto yourselves therefore. Now, watch verse 5. Meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land. I will not give you of their land.
yet he's going to give them the Hittites' land, the Amorites' land, the Jebusites' land, but he will not give them Seir, which is Esau, which will further be called Edom or Edomites. Why? Because they are part of their brethren. Now, eventually in time, the land will be taken from them, but not now, because their iniquity has not yet reached the measure of the full cup. And God warns the children of Israel, whenever you go through there, you are the bride, you are the elect, you are my chosen. But I do not want you to abuse your position. These people are going to be afraid of you. Don't you exert your muscles. Don't you put on this face on them. Don't you intimidate them by the favor I have given to you. I'll tell you, friends, I think we could learn a whole lot from this verse. I think as the bride of Christ, we've stripped the churches out here of everything. We don't think God even loves them. God ain't even going to save them. I'll tell you what God's going to do. God's going to save whoever will come to him. We're not the only ones that has miracles. We're not the only ones that has supernatural. Not only does the bride and the bride be saved, but the people out here can be saved as well. Why? Because God has given them a portion in the will. Now, would Esau and his seed ever be the children of Israel? They would not. Would they ever excel to the position that Israel would? They would not. But yet they were going to receive some of the blessings of God, and they had an inheritance. And God wants the children of Israel to know these people also have an inheritance, and you leave them alone. And don't you deprive them of what I've given to them. I'll tell you one thing. I think for too long we've tried to make ourselves the only kid on the block. Oh, some of you still are. That's why you ain't saying amen. You see, God can give grace to whoever he wants to give it to. God can heal whoever he wants to heal. That's exactly right. If God wants to perform miracles today in the local Baptist church or the Methodist church or the Catholic church, me or you or nobody else is going to tell him not to do it. If he wants to do it, he'll do it. And he'll do it right in our face to prove to us we don't tell him what to do. He's God. He does what he wants to do. And you are his wife and you don't give him directions. Praise the Lord. Now watch this. Meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land. No, not so much as a foot breadth. God is not even going to give the children of Israel, of the land of Esau, even as much space as you'd be able to set your foot down on their property. Why? Because it does not belong to them. God is going to give it to them and they will be able to keep it. So through the descendants of Esau, they were later conquered by David. You know that from reading the scripture in 2 Samuel. They were conquered by David, but David never dispossessed them. In other words, David never took their land from them. They were brought under a place of submission that's under the Davidic crown, but they were their land was never taken. I've actually, as it come through the reign of Jehoshaphat, they were given their independence back again. Now, God wanted them to know, you're not the only ones that I'm moving through. Praise the Lord. Watch verse 8. And when we passed by from our brethren, the children of Esau. Now, when Brother Branham was here, he called Church of God people his brother, and Baptist people his brother, and Nazarene people his brother. We can't even call message people our brother unless they agree with us. Well, y'all quiet this morning. I'm telling you the truth, friends. Now watch how that God wants them also to move over to the children of Moab. And when we passed from our brethren, the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, through the way of the plain from Elas and from Ezengaber, we turned and passed by the way of the wilderness of Moab. Now notice their inheritance. It was a wilderness. Now they were a bunch of chaotic people. It was absolute chaos and mess, but it was their mess. The churches are in a lot of mess, but it is their mess. Praise the Lord. Just like message churches are in a mess. But it depends on what you make out of it. Now notice what he said. And the Lord said unto me, distress not the Moabites. Now, wait a minute. Aren't from these people, aren't they later going to inflict the children of Israel? Is not this part of the very descendants from which the evil women come that actually become a very trap to the children of Israel? It was. But also from this tribe will come Ruth, an elected seed of God. Now, notice God is going to allow Moab, as well as the children of Esau, a certain inheritance. Will it ever be great like Israel? It will not. Will God ever give them a temple? He will not. Will the pillar of fire ever be visible among them? As far as we know, it was never there. But this is their inheritance. And God told His own people, you leave them alone. Notice, he says, then whenever they did this, the Lord said unto me, distress not the Moabites, neither contend with him in battle. Leave them alone. For I will not give thee of their land for a possession, because I have given Ar unto the children of Lot for a possession. Now notice then that God, it is so important to God in the Old Testament as well as the New, that each category of His grace and the recipients of His divine favor find exactly where they belong. And they get on their land, and there they do what God has given them the ability to do, and they don't waste all of their time fighting one another. You know, it's a shame, really, that people of religion, even of Christianity, spend so much of their time fighting one another. Message churches do the same thing. Message preachers wouldn't have nothing to preach if they didn't preach on other message preachers. It's a real shame. You know, we should spend more of our time studying the Word instead of trying to study one another's faults so we'll have something to take a text from. If a preacher don't have no more to preach on than everybody else's faults, he ought to sit down and shut up and let some God call man take the Word and feed the sheep. Praise the Lord. Now, each of these have their decreed boundary given by whom? By God. It was not given by Moses. It was not even declared by the children of Israel. It was not them that said, well, you can have this and you can have that. It is not in our scope, friends, to say who can have what. God can give grace. God can give mercy. God can give salvation. God can give miracles to whoever He wants to, because He is God. And if He does, I'm not going to get angry about it myself. I don't know of anybody I want to be lost. I don't know of anybody that I want to go to hell. Any poor mortal today that is sick and suffering, I don't know any of them. I would want to suffer another day if they can get healed, whether or not they get it here at this church. Because I don't control divine healing. You don't control divine healing. We do not control miracles. Almighty God does that Himself. Praise the Lord. Now, then what Satan will do, of course, is try to take the decreed boundary of the Word, or that which the Lord Jesus left in the will, Him being the one who wrote the will and being the testator to initiate the will, then they'd be coming back in the form of the Holy Ghost to be the executor of the will, to carry out and divide to every portion of this group what they're supposed to have. Now, we can see that there was an elect of God. There was people that Jesus Himself chose for specific purposes. There was the 12, then there was the 70, and then there was different categories and groups. And yet, out of the 12, there was 3 that Jesus called into very special places, Peter, James, and John. Is this the scripture? Now, Jesus loved all of them, and Jesus cared for all of them, yet there were the chosen out of the chosen that were given special favor, and they were given special privileges and benefits to see things that the others did not see. Peter was the only one that walked on water. He failed, but he was the only one who walked on water. Others were given special things, and it was not given to everybody. And the thing is, if we can lay jealousy aside, what we think is our preference, let God do with people what He wants to do. And you ought to just be so happy if He even smiles at you. You ought to just be so grateful if God gives you 1 ounce of His grace and mercy, and if He gives a brother sitting beside you 5 ounces, well, praise God with him. If He gives you 1, that's more than you deserve. Anyhow, That's exactly right. Now, but Satan has learned that in the gospel dispensation, as we looked at last night, the feast that has been going on for seven church ages, if he can misapply the word to the different categories and groups, then it will confuse them on their promise of who they are and their allocation of their property. Now, there's certain portions of Scripture, of course, that was given to Israel. Certain portions of Scripture that was given to Abimelech when God said about him, and he answered to God, said, God, you know the integrity of my heart. I wasn't going to take this man's wife. I didn't know that she was a married woman. God said, I know the integrity of your heart. And yet God never made a covenant with a king. God never gave that man any promises about his posterity or his seed. Yet the man found favor in the eyes of God, and he was a pretty good man to be a Gentile without the understanding of the word. And it's the same way down through the gospel dispensation, as we can see that all that come in the book of Acts never received the Holy Ghost. Now the scripture says that there was added to the church, and the scripture says that many came to the church, and the scripture says there was Pharisees that believed. That seems very strange to me. How could you be a Pharisee and believe? You understand, we've got Baptists that believe in our ranks, Methodists that believe, and Pentecostals that believe. It don't say they're believers, it says they're Pharisees that believe. That's why they struggle with the teachings of the message. Well, hallelujah. I'm going to have to call Brother Jack and see if he'll sing to us again this morning. Now, what's this? Satan knows if he can be able to misapply the portions of the word, that it will deceive those who are of the foolish virgin type or the whosoever will group. If he can anoint preachers to take portions of the scripture that apply only to the elect of God, their portions of scripture and their part of the will are so supernatural and so profound that what person would not want that portion of the will? So, you know, if you had a father and mother, whatever more, and then they left the will, and they've got five children, and they divide this and this among the children, and then they want to give a nephew this, and they want to give an uncle that, and they want to give the old neighbor down the road, the poor old widow down there that struggled for many years. Yet she's been a good widow. She don't belong to the family. She does not really have any ties to the will. But out of the gracious kindness of your mother and father, give widow so-and-so $10,000, and give the man down the road, you know, you've got your portion and you've got plenty. Well, if he hadn't given it to them, I could have had that much more. But you've got exactly what you need. And I think that's the way that we look at grace sometimes. We're so stingy with it. We're so selfish with it. Well, you mean God will save some drunk out there? He saved you and you was a drunk. Why not save another one? Amen. He's got plenty of miracles. He's got plenty of love and mercy that he can debit out. Let's help him. I don't know about you. I want to help do it if I can. But there again, there's also principles which apply to the elect alone. And Satan has found if he can take these high promises of God given to the elect, and if he can anoint preachers that will preach them to just the average Christian that is nothing but a foolish virgin, it will so deceive them. They will believe they have eternal security because they shook the preacher's hand and put their name on the book. And they say, I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. And the preacher will tell them, you've got eternal life. You've got eternal security. You're saved forever. So no matter what you ever do, you're saved. So if you smoke, you drink, you lie, you commit adultery, you've got eternal security. When my daddy was alive, he worked at a rock quarry in Kentucky, and he worked with a Baptist preacher. This Baptist preacher was so religious. He worked as a mechanic there with my daddy. And every time that he had hurt himself, oh my goodness, he would fly off the handle and cuss everything coming and going. He could cuss with the best of them and smoke and live all kinds of life and yet get out his Bible at lunch and read his Bible about the grace of God and cry. But he had eternal security, so he saw. Now, where did he get that concept? He got it from within the will But those promises are given only to those who it applies to. Let's look at some of them. St. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now Matthew 25 tells us that the kingdom of heaven will be likened unto a shepherd as a shepherd dividing his sheep. The folks that stand in the judgment of Matthew 25 are not actually sheep, but they are as sheep. The foolish virgin are not sheep. They are not sheep. They are coming up and going to be judged. If they were sheep, they would not be in the judgment. Notice this. Jesus goes on to say in verse 28, I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. So whoever it is that this is, I mean, they in quite a category. Somebody on the earth today are sheep, and they already have eternal life. But the ones in Matthew 25 don't have life, but they go into life. But yet, he said, well, you fed me and you hungered me. Well, Lord, when did we do this? We said, when you done it to the least of these, my brethren. Notice Jesus. Now, it's not me that's making up this differentiation. But the Lord Jesus actually differentiates even between those that are standing at the judgment when he says, you done this to my brothers. You mean these ain't his brothers? Well, apparently he would know his own family wouldn't. You see, friends, it's not me making this. It's not the prophet making this. It was Jesus. It was Jesus himself showing the categorical difference that God by election made. Now you imagine if Satan can take bride promises out of the will, and then every preacher out here, so they don't get the Holy Ghost, they're not born again, they're not sanctified, they don't live a holy life, but they can take bride promises from the will and tell them, if you accept Jesus Christ, you believe Jesus Christ? I do. You believe God so loved the world and gave his only begotten son? I do. You accept him as your personal Savior? I do. You've got eternal life. Thank you. So they walk right back out and they smoke and they drink and they commit adultery and they look at porn and they do all kinds of stuff and they go right back and the preacher keeps out. Now you've got eternal life now. You can never lose it. You can never lose it. It's yours forever. That preacher and them people will be raised in the white throne. And there he will stand before God. And then God will tell him, you didn't read the other part of the will, sir. That is given to those in Christ Jesus. And we get in Christ Jesus by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Which you never taught in your church. Peter was a very good man, very good man. But he wound up being a cussing, naked preacher. Praise the Lord. Why? He wasn't converted. Peter believed. Peter was baptized by Jesus himself. Peter had preached the gospel. He had performed signs and wonders. But he wasn't born again. And Jesus looks at him and tells him, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. You mean a man could preach and cast out devils and heal the sick and not even be converted? They still do it to this very day, my brother, sister. Eternal life had never moved into Peter's being. He had received the word in the form of Logos, but it had never become Rhema. But when the new birth consummated Peter's soul, then the word becomes a living oracle inside his being. Then he can become what God wanted him to be, not just reading it from a book. Notice Jesus goes on to say in verse 29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now if this is applied to everyone who repents, there's no need for any church members to be in the judgment. Now you've got Jesus teaching contrary to himself. Because Jesus said there's going to be people there. The Lord, we cast out devils. Lord, we done this and Lord, we done that. And they say, I never even knew you. So if every one of them by receiving eternal life, as they say. I've accepted Christ as my Savior. That's it. Then God blots out their sins. They can never be remitted against them again, remembered at all. And they have eternal life. God cannot judge eternal life. He judges mortal life, not eternal life. And then he'll turn right around and try to convince the bride. Now, you're not bride. Don't you have a J in your name? That's probably for Judas. What about a P? Some of you's got a P in your name, don't you? That stands for Pharaoh. Some of you's got a B. That stands for Balaam. Why, you've made so many mistakes. If you relax, surely you'd be this absolutely, totally sinless individual. And he spends so much of his time trying to tell you. And then he's got some of these message preachers that don't believe the message in the first place. And instead of preaching election, they fight it. Instead of preaching predestination, they stand against it. Come on, children. Oh, my. I'll tell you one thing. When we can be able to see who we are, some of you still pondering and wondering, are you the bride? Let me make it simple for you this morning. As the Lord dropped it in my heart early when I was studying, if you have the true baptism of the Holy Ghost in your soul and you are sealed by the Holy Ghost, you are elect. You could not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your heart, hallelujah, in your soul and not be the elect of God. You see, the church's salvation does not include eternal security. They can fall from their salvation and be lost. But if you're elect, the possibility of you being lost is the same possibility of God being lost. If you make mistakes, you'll pay. But there's a difference in paying and being lost. Whatever you sow, you'll reap. But that ain't the same thing as being lost. Notice in Jude 1:5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believe not. You mean they were saved and then destroyed? Saved and then destroyed. This is an argument that's been amongst the denominations for years and years, of those who preach eternal security and those who fight it. They're both right, but you're looking at different categories of people. The eternal security they try to apply to the wrong group. There is a people on the earth who have eternal security. Why? Because they came from the eternal one. That's why you're eternally secure. It's not what you got in this life, it's where you come from. Amen. You come from that circle of eternity and you're going back. That's real eternal security. Oh my, all the seed of Abraham was not spiritual seed of Abraham. You know that. Many of them perished in the wilderness. They perished in the journey. They perished all along the way. You see, many of them were put on a probationary period, as Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. Probation did not begin in the Garden of Eden. It actually began in heaven. There were angels that were created. All angels were not created. Some are elect. Some angels were created on probation. All angels were not created in this status. They were created and placed on probation, God knowing what they would do. If God hadn't made but just one, and that Lucifer, he would have fallen. He had no subjects. He would have had no powers to be able to affect your life. So God created millions of angels and placed them on a probationary period, and he placed them in that dimension. There they make their choice to war against Michael, which was Christ. Adam and Eve was placed in the Garden of Eden on probation. Mortals that are born into this life that are not the genes of God, they are placed here on probation. Amen. But you're not on probation. You're on a mission. I don't answer to a probation office. I answer to my Father. Probation's for those who could or could not. Brother Don, don't you believe we have free moral agency? Absolutely, I do. That's what's got us in trouble. Now, wait a minute. Don't you believe, Brother Don, that we have as much right to choose whether we want to go to heaven or hell? I do. Absolutely, I believe that. I believe you've got just as much right to choose whether you want to be a son or daughter of God as Adam did. What's wrong with that theology? You've got just as much right to choose whether or not you want to be a son or daughter of God. Adam did not choose by free moral agency whether they wanted to be a son of God or not. He chose whether they wanted to stay in the Garden of Eden or not. Notice how Jude says this in verse 6, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. They were placed on probation. Didn't surprise God at all. They were made in the element of time. You see, from this circle of eternity could come all these great attributes of God. But once it dropped down into the block of time, then that's where Satan, Lucifer, son of the morning, come into existence. Lord, that ought to make you shout. Do you understand? Lucifer was not here. He started down here. Sickness started down here. Depression started down here. There ain't no depression here, and there won't be none over yonder. There ain't no sickness in here, and there won't be none over yonder. Come on, children. There is no dying in here, and there'll be no dying over yonder. There was no Lucifer in here, and there'll be none over yonder. He come into existence in this block of time. So the next time he reminds you of your past, remind him of his future, because it ain't looking good. I wish I knew the devil's birthday. Honestly, I do, because I'd want to send him an email or an e-card or bake him a birthday cake full of rifle bullets or something, you know, to be able to celebrate his birthday. Because if he had a birthday, that means he's got a death day. Hallelujah! The eternal had no birthday, and your soul has no birthday. You never started on any certain day. You wasn't even saved on any certain day. You always was saved in the mind of God. Watch this in Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. He shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Notice the conditions. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Not a finished work. Not concrete. Not absolutism. You'll be saved if you endure. Acts 2, verse 1. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be not sealed. Romans 10, 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be not sealed. 1 Corinthians 3, 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, and he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Lot's works, all of Lot's doings, were destroyed by fire. But Lot and his two daughters were saved by fire. This ain't to bride. To put the bride buried there at the judgment and say the bride's works is going to all be up and the bride will scarcely be saved, you need to reread your Bible. Yeah. Oh, Brother Donnie, we're scarcely going to be saved. Speak for yourself. I ain't scarcely saved. Now, some of you legalists, you Pentecostals, boy, you're going to have a tough time maybe, but I'm telling you, it's the truth. Notice 1 Peter 4:18. If the righteous scarcely be saved. See there, Brother Donnie? I do see there. And it's evident I see farther than you do. If you knew the meaning of this word I'm fixing to read, you'd see what I'm saying. Look at the meaning of this word, scarcely. Hardly. Have much work with difficulty. Not easily. Very rarely. The word implies almost an impossibility, even with a risk involved. These are the righteous. This is why you and I both, my friends, know of many good people out here. As a matter of fact, sometimes these good people out here will treat you better than some of these people in here. But that's like comparing Jacob to Esau. Esau was a much better man. You better watch your wallet when Jacob was around. Praise the Lord. But God got him straightened out. But if you and I would have been around him for years and years, no doubt we would have preferred his brother. But if the righteous are barely saved, it's a risk with the righteous. They may or may not be, or could or could not be. They could be saved for many years and backslide, never recuperate. It's a risk. Can't you see why there must come from up here? No risk. You actually think God would run his program like this? Not even knowing who would be saved? Not even sure that anybody would be? Him and the angels would constantly be having to modify the construction of that new city. Shrink her down, boys. There's a lot of folks falling away. Oh, my, wait a minute. There's some more coming in over in China. Build it back up, boys. Build it back up. Now, wait a minute, boys. Take her down again. Take her down again. Knock this wall out. Shrink up the gold. We don't need the walls that big. Now, they ain't going to be just a handful in heaven. Nope. Sorry, boys. Let's redo it. Let's give it 5 years and we'll see. He knows exactly how big to build the city. Your mansion is already prepared and your name is already on it. He's done got you a theophany body there waiting. Oh, glory. He won't have five over. He won't be five short. Why? All of those that come from here are not scarcely saved. They are his attributes. They will not be lost. So this word shows that there's great risk and difficulty. For a called son or daughter of God that's filled with the Holy Ghost, it is easier for them to live a Christian life than it is for a devil out here to live a dark, sinful life. Oh, you say, well, how come I struggle? It ain't God's fault. It's your fault. You ain't never learned how to surrender yet. You're so protecting your rights. I want this and I want that and I came to this. And as long as you do it, you're fighting against God himself. You'll learn, my brother, sister, when you learn how to surrender everything you are, your motives, your objectives, your life, your gifts, your abilities, surrender it all to God. God, do what you want to with it. And Lord, if you don't want to use it as much as I think it ought to be used, so be it. You'll find there is a victory in that walk that people only dream about. There's a victory in that kind of awe. Why? You don't have no agenda yourself. All you want is to please him. It's easier. You think people out here have it easy? They have to sell, oh my, their body to get hit. I picked up some Claritin D down in Alabama the other day for the sniffles and the sneezes and the coughs. I nearly had to sign my life away at the drugstore. They wanted my driver's license, and I had to sign another thing. I wasn't buying it for somebody else. Then I had to sign another thing. I wasn't going to make it meth out of it. I had to keep on signing. I thought, I'm going to be late for church. And I said, well, I said, ma'am, do y'all have a problem with this? She said, sir, people down here take baby's cough syrup and make drugs. I thought, God, what a pitiful age you're living in, that people can't live without drugs. They're so addicted. Don't you get quiet on me. And some of you sit here and you scream against marijuana and you're addicted to pain pills. Brother Donnie, ain't you addicted? I am. I'm addicted to the Holy Ghost. I'm addicted to prayer. I'm addicted to church. I gotta have it. I can't live if I don't have it. Notice in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, the scripture says, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul. Here's the ones that scarcely be saved. This type of a righteous man. Isn't it amazing what he saw every day there in Sodom? Men marrying men, women marrying women. And you read the history of Sodom, and my goodness, I don't have the vocabulary to even bring it to you in such a way where it'd be vulgar and filthy when you read the history of Sodom. And it bothered him so bad, but it didn't bother him enough to leave. So he just lived there every day. Made his living, mayor of the city. Oh, this is awful. This is absolutely awful. Oh, God have mercy. Oh, God have mercy. All he's got to do is pack up his stuff and head back up to that message church he left. But, of course, his wife would have a problem with that, because now she wears mascara and lipstick and mini skirts and band suits and all that sort of thing. Pastor Abraham up there burns her hot every time he even sees her in the neighborhood. You bob-haired Jezebels, he'd say, Miss Lot would go home and cry and say, why did he say that to me? I imagine Miss Lot, whenever she left Abraham, she made a video and put it on YouTube. Why I left the message. Why I left Abraham's church. I am so free. I'm so free. I've never felt such freedom in my life. And you're fixing to feel the fire too, Miss Lot. I want you to notice there was two kinds of body changes that was going on during this time. Abraham and Sarah was fixing to receive a body change, and Miss Lot was fixing to receive a body change, except she wasn't going to be turned back to a young woman. She's going to be turned to salt. Look around, friends. There's body changes going everywhere. Men that are born men want to be changed into women. And women that are born women want to be changed into men. Come on. People altering their bodies got rings in their ears and rings in their nose and rings in their toes. And they got rings everywhere else. And they got tattoos all over their face. What is it? They're crying for a body change. But so are we. Oh, hallelujah. Vex his righteous soul from day to day with her unlawful deed. But it didn't bother him enough to say, wife, children, we're out of here. Look how the morals of his daughters fell so far living in that city. They were willing to get their father drunk and commit incest. One of their offspring was Moab, which was Lot's oldest daughter. Ammon was an incestual relationship with his youngest daughter. You think they got that teaching under Moses' ministry? Can't you see how the church is out here? They've got to be politically correct. So we're afraid to say anything about transgender. If a man wants to go in a woman's bathroom, let him go. Well, I'll tell you one thing. It goes in with some of you sisters. You come out with a broke nose, maybe. You catch some man in the stall by you. You take that shoe off and lop him up the side of the head with it. Oh, but the churches are afraid to say anything. We can't say anything against homosexual marriage. Brother Donnie, won't you marry two men? I will. Yes, yes, yes. Show me where God did, and I'll do it. Show me where God married two women, and I'll do it. Some of y'all like to lost you, swallowed your false teeth, didn't you? God never married two men. God never married two women, and I ain't going to. Let them throw me in jail. I'd rather stand for the word of God than be a lot compromiser.
It's easy for you visitors to clap your hands. Y'all be leaving this evening. Oh, I know some of y'all go to church. Your preachers are saying the same thing. Thank God for them. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come an apostasia. This is where we get the word apostasy. An apostasia. A falling away, to forsake, defection, apostasy. And the son of, listen to this, the man of sin. Look at the dispensations. We're under the influence of the son of man. They're under the dispensation of the man of sin. Be revealed, the son of perdition. You're under the influence of the son of perdition, or the son of man one. Hebrews 6:4, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened. Photizo, this is the word we get our word photo from. Give light, to bring light, render evident, to cause something to exist and thus come to light and become clear to all. Imbue with saving knowledge, to instruct, to inform, to teach, to give understanding to. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted. Taste it. Like a cook or a chef will taste of the recipe. Needs a little more salt. Needs a little more cumin. A little bit more of this, that. So they've tasted. They've been in line and said, Lord, I see it. I see it. I see it. Oh my God, it's the truth. I see it. Oh my. And they actually taste of the heavenly gift. And were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Look in verse 5. And have tasted the good word of God. To taste, to try, the flavor of, to partake, enjoy, make trial of, or experience. I said, Brother Donnie, I'm scared to death. Oh God, that's me. If you're elect, this is not your scripture. I get emails all the time from people around the world who are scared to death. They blaspheme the Holy Ghost and tears running out of their eyes down their face while they're writing me the email. I can't wait to turn it around and send it back to them and tell them the very sign that you want to be right is the sign this is not you. Hallelujah. If it was you, you would have no desire to do it. The church's portion of the will can save them gloriously, sanctify them gloriously, even dip their spirit into the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they can fall away and never be renewed again. But your promises include an eternal security clause. Notice in verse 6, if they shall fall, slip aside, hence to deviate from the right path, turn aside, wander, err, if they shall fall, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Look at Judas and look at Peter. Peter denies he even knows the Lord, and he does it more than once. He curses. Would you have wrote him off? Serpent seed. Of the devil. Well, the problem of it is all the rest of the disciples may not have cussed, but they run off too. So there wouldn't nobody been around to write him off. When you get done writing everybody else off, we might want to remind you of your own shortcomings yourself. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Ain't nobody sitting here today that don't need God's grace and mercy. I don't care who you are. For the herbs which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth the herbs, meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, now under cursing whose end is to be done. But, beloved, here's another portion of the will. A different category of people. But beloved. Look at this word. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Agapetos. Now, you know the word agape, agapeo. All this is from the same Greek word. Agapetos. This is who you are. You are agapetos. You didn't know that, did you? Y'all got a new name today. Agapetos. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. How could it be persuaded of better things? Look at what beloved means. Dearly beloved, well beloved, dear, esteemed, favorite, worthy of love. You men call your wives dear when you're angry. Don't raise no hands, please. You wives call your husbands dear when you're angry. What is this? It's a term of endearment. Now, of course, when you're angry, I'm sure you say, "Now, sweetheart, I love you so much. And I mean, you know, we're not going to argue, sweetheart. You're just so sweet and your sweetheart. And I'm going to bust your mouth, woman, if you don't. I mean, sweetheart, you are just so lovely. And oh, my, you're without fault." There wouldn't be no arguing if you talked to her like that. Praise the Lord. Remember, you took that vow before God for better, for worse. She might have been 125 pounds then, 340 now, but that's what you said. Praise the Lord. A term of endearment. You see the difference between us and God is we married this man or this woman not knowing what they would become, but he knew all you were. He knew all of your mistakes and knew all of your faults and everything you do. And he called you dear not when you got saved. He called you dear before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. It's in your portion of the will. It's not because you deserve it. Hebrews 10:26, if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth. Notice Paul doesn't say the love of the truth. The knowledge of the truth. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Don't raise your hands, but I wonder how many of you have had besetting sin in your life and the devil has wore you out with some of these scriptures. You see, if our mistakes were always different, they were never the same one, you'd be amazed how easy you'd find that to deal with. In your psyche, in your psychological behavior, you would, because you say, "Well, that's a new trap. I never knew that before." And you'd repent, you'd go to God, "God, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me of that." But because it can be the same thing
or leading to the same area. Satan knows how repeat offenders become so depressed and so down and can feel so hopeless. Because they've asked God to forgive them. They've asked God to forgive them over and over and over again. And he killed. I might as well quit. I might as well throw up my hands and quit. Don't you see what he's trying to do? He's trying to take this and apply it to you. Well, you've sinned away your day of grace. There ain't no hope for you. And he'll say, well, now, did you premeditate this? Was this actually a trap since you have that website saved on your phone so it'd be easier to access under your favorites? Now, I'll go in the office here and preach the next 15 minutes. You're going to tell me it's not premeditated when you sit down and think before you put your trash on Facebook? I'm going to get back at so-and-so and I'm going to say so-and-so. You're going to tell me that ain't premeditated? You're going to tell me that ain't premeditated? And you make up your mind when you meet brother so-and-so the next time, you're going to give him a piece of your mind and you figure that out for 6 weeks getting ready to do it? You're going to tell me that ain't premeditated? You're going to tell me that ain't willful? Come on now. Woo, help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. If this applied straight across the board to elect, non-elect, foolish virgin, there would not be one mortal saved. Not one. Y'all looking right funny. Now please, all of you, don't pass out at one time. There ain't enough 911 ambulances around here to take care of y'all. You're going to sit there and tell me you have not willfully planned to do things wrong. Lord have mercy, all as quiet as a bunch of Baptists. Then how come you're not cut off? You're going to tell me Abraham didn't plan to leave the land of Palestine? You're going to tell me Isaac didn't plan on it? How come Judas crossed the line and Peter couldn't? The testator's on the earth making out the will. And when the testator dies and rises in the form of the executor, and he speaks to Mary Magdalene, and he says, go tell my disciples and tell Peter that I have raised from the dead. The executor now administers to Peter his position. Oh, Brother Donnie, if I know that, look what it done to Peter. How many more times did Peter do it? Once the executor called his name after the opening of the will, we don't have another instance in the scripture. If you think preaching eternal security makes you live ungodly and unholy, you need the Holy Ghost. If you really see security the way it is, it'll make you so sensitive toward God, you'll never want to do anything wrong. Oh my. Gotta have a few more minutes. 2 Peter 2:18, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh. Through much wantonness, those which were clean are escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, the same as he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Why? The church's place in the will has no allocation for eternal security. And you think the latter end is worse than when they were born, and yet we're born in such a vile, corrupt state? And we can come to the truth and receive the truth, then turn and walk away, and actually cross the line, and we're worse than we were the day we were born. How?
more mercy, more grace, we stepped over. Grace is not a toy, friends. Grace is not something to be played with. We are responsible for the grace we receive from God. Worse than the beginning. Why? Because they looked at truth and turned and walked away. My God. Verse 21. It had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. As Jesus says in Mark 14:21 about Judas, it would have been better for him to have never been born. That's why I tell you, when you're witnessing and witnessing and witnessing, make sure you're led of the Holy Ghost when you go to putting this message before people. Everybody ain't ordained to eat this type of food. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about God's saving mercy. Praise God. They'll find a church somewhere if it's real. But make sure you're not feeding something to people that's going to make them so sick, and you have to answer to God for it. Because your zeal overrode the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Oh my. God help us. It had been better for them to not have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn. Lord Jesus, to turn. Give me just a few more minutes, I'll close. To turn. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again. But see, here's the key. It was a dog when he came, and it was a dog when he left. Praise the Lord. Never changed. Never transformed. My, my. And the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now the Hebrew tongue for sow, it's amazing. It means to return. So in her name is her destiny. So what does the old sow do? I've washed many a hog in this church. I've washed many a hog all over the world where I've been preaching. A lot of these other preachers have too. Man, them old fattening hogs will come in there and we'll take that old snout and rub it down with a little Malachi 4. And we'll take a little John 3:16 and rub the rust off from behind the ear. Man, we'll rub down and scrub down their old feet and everything. Oh, we get them so clean and we look like a mess ourselves when we get done. We set them down in the pew and they sit there and cry hog tears. I'm sincere, God. I'm sincere. Well, some of y'all said, look at me so funny. Some of them's your kids. Your mom and your dad and your aunt and your uncle. They're not seed just because you are. You can claim them all you want to. God will not make somebody bride that he never claimed as bride. So what do? You wash them, you clean them. They sit there for 20 years maybe, 25, 30. Then they get on a website or they get a smell of something. Here they go. How I've missed you, rock and roll. Oh, how I've missed you, mess. How I've missed you, Viceroy's. Oh, Conway Twitter. I mean, Tweety. Oh. Oh, George Jones. My, my, my. You can tell I'm old school, right? My, my, my. How I've missed you, ACDC and DCYC. And oh, my. I'm so glad to be back here. Do you understand when they cross that line? And yet, how many of you Holy Ghost saints have been minding your business, pushing your buggy down Walmart or Lowe's? You can't even go in Lowe's anymore without hearing rock and roll, head banging stuff. Or you hear some old love song back when you was the days gone by, you know. Nothing gets in your spirit. If you're not careful, you'll find yourself tapping that little buggy. Oh God, devil, get out of here. And then during the day, that thing will come back to your memory and you feel awful. You feel, don't sit there and look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Why do you feel so different? Because you've been changed. You've been changed. The inside of you has been born again. Oh, you remember this old days and them old days, and your soul says, I don't want none of that no more. I don't want that filth of the world. I don't want none of that. But your body might remember and your spirit might remember, but down inside of you, you are not a dog and you are not a hog. You are a sheep of God. And what do you do? Lord Jesus, forgive me.
Amen.
Forgive me, Lord. Aren't you glad you don't have to come back to church? And if this happens to you on Monday, that you have to wait till Wednesday or Sunday to come back and be washed. But you can stand right there. And when you ask the Lord, Lord, forgive me. I should never said that, Lord. I shouldn't have thought that. That's unbecoming to me as a Christian. I'm sorry, Lord. Right there, you have an instant pool of washing that just washes and takes no. Why? It's in your portion of the will. Let's stand. Brother Daniel, let's go over several pages. Go to the quotes there. Israel and the church, paragraph 49. Now, I'd like to give you just a little something to send you on your journey. Before you can become a Christian, God called you. Not you calling God. God called you. Now, He called Abraham, and He's the father of us all, the faith. Now, notice He said, Abraham, it's election. I want you to get on that election strong. I want to get on that election strong. I want to get on that election strong. Because it's the truth. Now you didn't become a Christian just coincidence. You become a Christian before you was in this world. Before you were born, God ordained you to be a Christian from the Garden of Eden. From before the foundation of the world. Oh, you say, is that right, brother? That's the truth. God, amen. Before there was ever you knowed anything. Notice again, he says, he elected Abraham. And that was the very beginning of our salvation. Given to man when he called him and elected him and predestinated him. And give him a promise and made a covenant with Abraham and his seed forever. Again, he says, we find that God's church is not the will of the people. It's election. Election is in God. God called Abraham the founder of our faith. God was the founder, of course, but Abraham in the beginning was called out of Chaldea, city of Ur, out of the plains of Shinar. Not with any merit of his own, God saved him unconditional and gave him the promise and all his seed unconditional. As a matter of fact, when God meets with him, he says, as for me, my covenant is with you. God don't even ask him if he wants it. He said, leave the land of your fathers. God don't say, if you want to. I'd like to make you a part of my covenant, if you want to. Show me one place in the scripture God ever even asked him if he wanted to. God said, I have, I will, it's already done.
Praise be to God.
Why? That was Abraham's allocation in the Old Testament. Will. This is yours, my friends. Quit coming to church week after week pondering, am I elect, am I seed, am I non-seed, am I this or that? If God's given you the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if you don't get nothing else out of this service, walk out of here today knowing
You would not have it if you were not the elect of God. The prophet said when God met Abraham, Abraham received the covenant without any merits at all. The covenant was made with Abraham, absolutely grace altogether. Abraham was not a better man. He was not a holiness man. He was just an ordinary man. And God by election chose Abraham because God elected him. About 50 more days till our presidential election. I'll be glad when it's done. I don't know about you. I get tired of hearing all the lies from both sides. You people, so they say, will elect the next president. But I'm so glad that in my election, it wasn't me voting. As a matter of fact, my name was on the ballot, but God was the only one that got to vote. Your name and your name and your name. He chose you. God elected you. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful today for your grace. Lord Jesus, it does not make us want to walk out of here today as stuffed shirt with our head all stuck up in the air thinking we're something. We realize that your grace, Lord, and your mercy. In one sense of the word, it takes us out of the picture. We just want to follow you. That's the main thing. Forgive us, Lord. We've been quite selfish over the years. We've not wanted to delve out salvation, or not wanted you to, rather, to anybody that didn't believe us and didn't follow us. We didn't want them to get healed. We didn't want no miracles. All kinds of selfish attitudes we've had among us. Forgive us, Lord. We must be close to the end by you helping us to see who we are. It was when Ruth had got to her position that she came into full view of who her inheritance was. It was when Esther had come to her place that she could cry out as the intercessor. It was right before Abraham's body change that he plead for mercy to Lot. Does it mean, Lord, we're that close? We're that close that we're lining up, Father. Lord, even the foolish virgin must be in before the bride can go. Once she's gone, the blood's taken from the earth as far as the Gentiles is concerned. And the door of mercy will be closed. God, we've got friends, family, loved ones. Bring them in, Lord. If there's any way that they can be saved, they may not belong to this church. They may not come here. They may not even be able to receive this message. But if they can receive you as their Savior. Lord, we know that Paul preached and lived his life and never even read the book of Revelation. Because the book of Revelation wasn't even written until 96 A.D. Paul had been dead for 30 years as far as the physical part before the book of Revelation was ever made known. Paul never read it, never read the first word of it. He did not need it. He did not need it. Many of the patriarchal fathers of the apostolic age never even read the book of Revelation. It was not written in their lifetime. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, many of those brothers never even knew about the book of Revelation. They did not need it. It was given for after their time. For hundreds and hundreds of years, it was here but misunderstood. But in this age, the mysteries have been opened. Out of where? The book of Revelation. Why? We need it. The church world will never understand it. It's not given for them. They don't need to understand the plagues. They don't need to understand the vials and the seals. What they need to understand is the cross. And blood and mercy. That's why their preachers preach it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. That's the ground that's given to them. Lord, I pray you'd bring every one of them in that can be brought in. Lord Jesus, bring them in, Father, before it's too late. Help us, Lord, to do what we can. We love you, Father. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. You love him, saints. Amen. Now, if Abraham sat in some of the message churches today where message preachers were, I heard a preacher saying not long ago, God cannot pick out one individual because if he does, it's respect to persons. And I thought, I wonder what Abraham would have said if he'd been in the service that day.
Abraham had had to raise his hand and say, "It isn't me." God can't make a covenant with one man and bypass all the rest of the people on the face of the earth. Abraham had to raise his hand and said, "It isn't me." God can't make a difference in a man and give him this, that, and other. And I get Abraham have to say, "It isn't me." You want to argue with that? He did. May I be able to raise my hand with Abraham and say, "It isn't me." He chose me before I ever chose him. He did me. He loved me before I ever knew him. He did me. Amen. I was ordained to be saved before I ever knew I was even lost. He did me. He loved me before the foundation of the world. He did me. I was the thought of God, eternal in his attributes. He did me.
Praise God. You love him, children, with all your heart. May God help each of us. Wherever you head today, wherever your home is, may God help you to find your place in the will. And realize there may be others in the will as well. Don't make fun of them. Don't run down the Assyrians. Don't run down the Moabites, the Esau, Seir, whoever they are. Just let them go. Just let them go. And realize if it was not for God's grace, you could live in the land of Moab. It ain't them folks that I feel sorry for. It's the ones who've been around this word and left it. That's the ones I feel sorry for. Many of them folks, they're not going to stand in judgment and answer for what we know. You and I are the ones that's going to have to stand. Let's do what we know we need to do with what God has placed in our hands. Praise be to God. Hey, let's sing something together. Let's just worship him before we go. I want to say again how we've enjoyed all the visitors being with us this weekend. God bless you. Trust that you've received something from the Lord. I trust you not only enjoyed our hamburgers and hot dogs and chili and chips and all that sort of thing, but hope you've been blessed in your heart.
Amen.
Amen. From the Word of God as well. When you go back home to your church, greet your pastor for me. Greet the saints where you attend. And I want to be sure to invite you all. There's a youth meeting coming up. All of y'all are invited to. It's only youth attendees. It's the largest youth gathering that has ever been. Glory to God. Only young people get to be there. It's not the youth camp in Louisiana. It's not the youth meeting and the winter retreat. It's the youth camp in heaven. Only ones there is 18 to 20 years old, something like that. None of them have arthritis. None of them have sickness or ever will be sick. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I'd like to invite you. Oh my, we're going to live in a gated retirement community. You're welcome. You're welcome. Don't you want to go? Oh, aren't you glad God's grace has made a way? We're going to go. And if you're a bride and he puts your name on that Lamb's Book of Life, you have your name written in that city because that city reflects you and you reflect it. But remember, there'll be millions and millions that'll live outside the city. God's grace to them is the church. It'd be unbecoming to put them up here since they didn't live in here. You live in here now in the pyramid. In the city, you'll live also in the pyramid. But God's grace will allow millions, and they'll come in the city to see you. You are the celebrity of heaven. You imagine the kings and the princes of the earth will walk in, and they'll be in awe. Oh, look, there she is. There. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. That's one of the bride. That's one of the bride. God bless you, ma'am. They walk up and down them streets in the court of the Gentiles. The city has a court, you know. So they walk up and down the court and they see the rivers coming down and streaming down. And they see the jasper on the walls and all the light. You can just imagine the brilliance that's inside this place. And they walk around for however long they're permitted. And then they get ready to go out and they pull off a leaf of a tree of life. And the traders to one another and said, "Brother, at one time on the earth we fought for one another's blood. But now we're at peace." And they turn back around to y'all and say, "See y'all next time." You imagine what they talk about. It's this one goes over this way and that one goes that way. I say, "Wonder what it must be like to live there all the time."
for them people. Now, they ain't going to be sad. There won't be no sadness. But you imagine them thinking, wonder what it must be like to live in the presence of the King every day. Glory to God. I'll tell you, friends, service like we had here last night, and the anointing of the Holy Ghost moving so good. My goodness, we had dismissed the congregation, what was it, about three times? I don't know if y'all was ever going to leave or not. But you know what that was? It wasn't the presence of a preacher. It was the presence of your great King. You are them people that's one day going to live in that city. You'll never have to part from it. Until we meet again. God bless you. May God go with you. Sing some together.
If you want to know,
hallelujah,
where I'm going,
oh yes,
where I'm going so soon, anybody ask you,
oh yes, Lord,
where I'm going. Tell them for me I'm going up yonder, going up yonder, I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord, headed for glory. I'm going up yonder, I'm going up yonder. Take the pain, the heartache that it brings. There's a comfort in knowing I'll soon be gone. God will give me grace. I'm gonna run my race until I see the Savior face to face. I'm going up yonder, I'm going up yonder, I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord, headed for glory. We're going up yonder. We're going up yonder. We're going up yonder to be with my Lord. We're going in the rapture. I'm going in the rapture. I'm going in the rapture. I'm gonna be with my Lord. I'm going in the rapture. Oh, I'm going in the rapture. I'm gonna be with my Lord. If you wanna know where I'm going, where I'm going so soon. If anybody asks you, oh, where I'm going, where I'm going so soon, tell them for me I'm going up yonder. I'm gonna be with my Lord. to be with my Lord. I can take the pain, the heartaches this life brings, but I've got a comfort in knowing I'll soon be gone. God will give me grace. He'll help me run this Christian race until I see the Savior face to face. I'm going.
I'm going home. I'm going soon. God bless you. We're going to let you go. Let's sing it together. I'm going home. I'm going soon. I'm going. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I've always been stranger here. I mean, knows that's the truth. Oh, but now I'm going home. Once more as we go. God bless you. May God be with you.
I'm going where I belong. I've always been a stranger here, but now I'm going.